are listening to Tailgate Talk with Patrick Surtain and Aronde Gadsden, exclusively at DolphinsTalk.com. Now, here is your host, Mike Oliva.
And welcome to another episode of Tailgate Talk with Patrick Surtain and Aronde Gadsden. Guys, how are you doing today?
We hanging in there.
Man. Braving the South Florida heat.
Oh, I know. I'll be down there in a couple weeks for the Redskins game, and I'm looking forward to it, but it is hot up. It is hot down there, especially where I am from. It's like night and day. So I am preparing myself for that. Since we last spoke, the Miami Dolphins traded away Minkah Fitzpatrick. They got a first-round pick in return for him. Minkah was only a second-year player. He only had 18 games in the league total, and he was asking for a trade through his agent. Do you think that's a little odd to see someone who's, you know, pretty much just in the league for only a year in one or two games demanding a trade? And were you surprised by that? Let's start with Pat.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised, but you know, that's the way of the new age player, man. They can demand their way out of situations and basically get their way in. You know, I think the Dolphins, they were smart about it. They know they had a valuable asset. You know, he had a great year last year, but from all reports, you know, he was struggling a bit last year, and it was due to him not having a specific position. And I think that's where the conflict came in, that Minkah wanted to play one position, the Dolphins wanted to play multiple positions, so he didn't know how to treat his body, you know, either lose weight to play corner or put on an extra couple of pounds to play safety. But at the end of the day, you know, in this, you can say they're not doing it, but we all see that they're rebuilding, and they got a valuable asset in the first round pick. Let's see if they can make something out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Aronde, what are your thoughts?
I mean, it's tough because you think of it as being a teammate. You know, if you are playing with a guy that you can't count on and a guy that doesn't want to be there, then you know, especially in a rebuilding type atmosphere, then you don't want them around. You want to have everybody in that locker room when you come in day to day wanting to be there and you know, ready to go and accept, you know, what direction the team is going in. So it's kind of tough knowing he's a good player. And, you know, it kind of is, you know, if the Dolphins had given him some direction to go in, he probably could have handled it better. But like Pat said, this is the new age athlete. He didn't say anything about being traded last year, but this year he comes out and says he wants to be traded. So that's what it is. But like I said, from a teammate standpoint, you want everybody to be in the locker room. You want to know you can count on everybody, and you want everybody to be there every day ready to go. And if he wasn't, you know, buying into the process and not ready to go to battle with his other teammates, then I guess it was best that they got what they could for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, people look at this Dolphins team, and they're having a rough time right now. But if you look at the last five first-round draft picks they have, they were Juwan James, no longer with the team, Devontae Parker, who's been, you know, up and down, to say it nicely, and with his time in Miami. You had Laremy Tunsil, no longer with the team, Charles Harris, he hasn't lived up to that first-round pick status, and Minkah Fitzpatrick, pretty much three of them are gone, and the two that are there haven't lived up to where they were picked in round one. So you'll go back to just the first-round picks they've had Miami the last 5 years. You can sort of see why they're in the situation they're in, and I think it's a shock to a lot of fans that both Tunsil and Minkah were traded, but the plus side is next offseason, they're going to have all these picks in rounds one and two to help rebuild this with at least.
Yeah, it's been that way for a while. You know, it just doesn't seem like we hit on the picks that we're supposed to hit on. And, you know, usually with your first-round picks, man, those are the guys who are the cornerstones of your franchise. And, unfortunately, the Dolphins haven't hit on those guys. Like you said, you mentioned the last 4 or 5 years, some of those guys are gone. And even though we do have, you know, those picks to compensate for it, we all know, man, a draft is a crapshoot.
Absolutely.
It's a crapshoot. You never know if you could get a player equivalent to the player you let go. So who knows? And, you know, if you don't hit on a guy next year, you know, how much longer can you keep going trying to find, you know, that cornerstone first round pick? So, you know, you got to keep guys like that. And the guys who do keep their first round picks, if you look at it, those are the guys who are winning championships in the league.
Yep, absolutely.
It's pretty tough when you, like I said, once again, when you think about it, you know, you always want to pick a guy that suits the way your coaching staff is in the direction they're going. So, you know, thinking about Coach Flores, who came from the New England brass, you know, you would think they would build through free agency and some older players who, you know what they're doing and come in and, you know, play for the minimum or get a nice contract and run it out. But obviously, I guess him and general manager Greer has figured out they're going to go the total rebuild and get younger players. But like Pat said, you don't know, you know, which player you're going to get from another player. We've all seen the first round players, and we don't want to call them busts, but they haven't
lived up
out the way.
They haven't lived up.
They haven't panned out to be what we thought they would be. So I would think at that point, when you have a cornerstone player like Tunzel, you would keep him and build around him.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of free agency, looking ahead, because, look, it's off to a rough start this year for Miami. They're probably not going to win many games. You know, maybe they win, you know, one, two, or three games. Let's just be nice about it, I guess is a way to say it. They're going to have around $140 million or so to spend in free agency next year. Their salary cap is pretty much empty heading into next year. Would a season where they only win a couple games, one or two games or so, would that scare away free agents, you think? Or at the end of the day, is it really just only about the money? And will guys come to a team like Miami that's a total rebuild that is coming off a bad year if you pay a guy enough? Is it about the money, or will being that bad scare away some guys, you think?
I think, you know, it's the kind of guy you're going after. I think certain guys draw other guys. I think you got to get a cornerstone veteran who agrees with the direction of the team, and that will bring in some younger superstars. But money is a big driving force right now. And I think a lot of young players, you know, you can get a guy coming off his fourth year looking for that big contract, and you would get him. But once again, you still need some veteran leadership in the locker room. And I think Pat and I both know the teams that are winning has veteran leadership in the locker room. If you don't have that, you know, it's going to be tough for a bunch of talented young guys to win a lot of games. I don't want to, you know, put it on them too early, but, you know, the Browns got a talented roster, but it's tough when you don't have that, you know, vet guy in there. You know, you've seen the teams that have had, you know, sort of dynasties are won in a few years after year after year. And they've had, you know, you go back to the Ravens, they had Ray Lewis, you know, you obviously the Patriots, they have, you know, a cornerstone with Belichick and Brady. But, you know, the teams, even when we played, we had older guys in the locker room that would say, hey, this, you know, the Richmond Webbs, you know, the Trace Armstrongs would, you know, just kind of show us the ropes before we got going in the wrong direction that could bring us back. So they're going to have to make that decision. But I think they're going to have to get two or three veteran cornerstone players with some of that money.
Yeah, man. I think in you know, nowadays in today's football, man, I think it's all about the moolah. Yep. If you got that money, they coming. Winning, it becomes secondary. And especially with a rebuild, you don't need just one person to change this franchise around. You'll need about six or seven guys. So if they're offering up the gumbo, you know, guys are coming to get it. Guys are coming to get it, you know, and obviously guys want to win. But I think now and today, man, that money comes first. You know, they're seeing how short the game is becoming, and guys are going for that guaranteed money. So if the Dolphins have $140 million under the cap to shelve out, you know, win, lose, or draw, the top free agents, they come and get that money. Best believe that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Miami is going to be very active. I know there was an article a few weeks ago in the Miami Herald where they said they plan on being very active next year in free agency. And hopefully they start with the offensive line, because the offensive line has really been not up to par this year, and just been, I think, something that's holding back the offense. Speaking of the offense, Josh Rosen got his first start last week with when they played the Cowboys. You know, he moved the offense a little bit better. They got, you know, more yards. They even had some long drives at time, but, you know, they didn't get any points. They only had 6 points. They've only scored one touchdown in 3 games, the Miami Dolphins, on offense. Obviously not good at all. On the other side of the ball, they also have their struggles, obviously. And this question, I guess, maybe less so about Miami, but when you're on a team where one side of the ball, let's just say the offense, only has one touchdown in 3 games, does the other side of the ball, can there be a rift on a team between an offense and a defense?
Absolutely it can. And, you know, but then in a Dolphins situation, you know, they can take equal blame. The offense doing anything and the defense not doing anything to stop anybody. So, you know, who's the rift going against? Is the offense getting mad at them? Like you said, they showed some signs last game. Some more drop passes that they can't afford to have. Flores didn't challenge the touchdown that I thought was a touchdown. Then we get the ball again down in the red zone. King Drake fumbles. So I think Josh Rosen gave him a little bit of spark going into it, and, you know, hopefully he continues. Young guy, why not see what he has going forward? And guys, they showed some fight last game. The defense hung in there the first half. Obviously the second half it got away from him, couldn't stop the run. But for the most part, you know, they showed some last game. And, you know, with San Diego coming in – oh, I'm sorry, not San Diego. Los Angeles Chargers, you know, coming in this week, man. Hopefully they continue to go – to be on the up and up.
Yeah, it's kind of tough for me to say this, but, it still falls on the offense. I think the defense can do only so much. I think the first half, the defense played really good against Dallas team that's star-laden. I mean, they held them 2 field goals, you know, almost. They scored, I think it was 10-6 going into halftime or something like that. And if the offense, their first drive was sweet. They got down and, you know, Parker caught a one-handed pass.
Yep.
And then we end up kicking a field goal,
you know.
And then you know, the series Pat talking about, you know, Devontae Parker missed the slant, and then after he missed the slant, then Kenyon Drake fumbles. But you got to challenge the touchdown by Williams. So that conceivably could have been 13 points. We could have at least had going in the half 13-10, you know, but we didn't. You know, it's a different league now. You got to put up points. You know, just think if we had to play Kansas City at this point.
Oh, my God. Don't
points.
Even – please don't.
You know, so that's what I'm saying. The offense got to do a little better. You know, I read something earlier today that Albert Wilson seems like he's ready to go.
Yep.
So that's going to spark up the offense a little bit. But it's an offensive league right now. You got to put up points. If you're not putting up points, you're going to lose. If the defense get 1 or 2 stops, hold them to a field goal, you got to come down and put up 7. So – it's tough for me to say that, being an offensive guy, but yeah, the offense got to put up points.
Yeah, and I saw actually a stat today that Pat Mahomes, every game he has started with the Chiefs, their offense has not scored less than 26 points. That's a pretty good stat right there. He started now, what, like a year and a half or so, roughly? Every start, he has scored at least 26 points a game, led that offense to. And then you see the Dolphins 1 touchdown in 3 games. It's like they're playing a whole different sport almost out there in Kansas City. It's like not even the same sport, really. Talking about that rift I was talking about, back when you guys played, were you ever on a team where there was a little rift between the offense and the defense?
I wouldn't say a rift, but, you know, there were times when defense would be out there. And I think for like I forgot what year it was, 2000, 2001, the defense were giving up like 6 points a game.
Oh,
and, you know, the offense, they were scoring like 13. We started like 7-1. It wasn't never a rip, because at the end of the day, man, you're a professional. And, you know, no matter what they're doing on the other side of the ball, you ultimately you got a job to go out there and do. And if you're a professional, that's how you approach it. You wouldn't worry about what they're doing on the other side of the ball. As a defensive player, as a cornerback, I knew my job was to go out there and stop the offense to get the ball back, you know, to our offense so they can score points. So I wouldn't necessarily say it was a rift, but there were times when we were allowing less than 7 points a game You know, and sometimes that's the formula of winning. You know, back in the day it was. Now the game has changed, and obviously you have to score points nowadays. But back when we played, man, 13-7, that was pretty much our average score.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like Pat said, I was alluding to this earlier. Like when we played, it was tough because the defense just did hold the road. I mean, most of our offense came from Lindo. Lindo kicked 3 field goals. We went 12-6, and it was tough because we run the ball and play good defense. So, you know, that, like he said, we are professionals, and we do what we got to do to make it happen. You know, our main objective first was to flip the field. Once we flip the field, then we see if we can field goal position. So that was tough. And being a wide receiver, we wanted to score. We wanted to put up points, and we had some pretty good wide receivers. But, you know, after Dan left, we had Jay and a few other quarterbacks. It just wasn't the recipe for us to win. And we know we had that defense to count on. And it was a few times where we come off the field, or I come off the field, and be kind of sick because the defense, you know, they got to go back on there. And they'll do their job and hold them. But we need to put up more points. But, you know, listen, that recipe got us to the playoffs a lot more times than not. So we're not going to complain about that at this point.
No, absolutely not. This week the Chargers are coming to town. They're 1-2 so far this year, but they're still a very good team. They're a team that probably will be in the playoffs because they're in the playoffs most years. Phillip Rivers, he's still going strong, and there's always a debate on Rivers is if he sort of had a Hall of Fame career or not. I'm just sitting here right now looking at stats. He hasn't missed a start or a game since 2006, and we are in 2019. That's very impressive. His numbers are very good, but, of course, all the passing numbers – are sort of inflated because of the rule changes over time and stuff. What are your thoughts on Rivers, and do you think he's a Hall of Fame quarterback?
I think he's borderline.
Me too.
Obviously, people look at success in the postseason as, you know, an obstacle that may prevent him from getting to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But if you look at the guy's numbers, man, it's right up there with everybody. And like you said, his longevity in the league, the way he's been able to stay healthy. I remember the guy went out there and played with a torn ACL. So it shows you how much he cares about his team, man. And even though he has the funny throwing motion, the guy gets the job done each and every year. And he's been doing it for the past decade, you know, with different set of receivers. And he continues to be one of the top quarterbacks in the league. So I don't know if the committee will hold that against him that he didn't win in the postseason like some of the other Hall of Fame quarterbacks, but I think he's right on the cusp. And if he's able to get at least one, I think he'll definitely go in there.
I think he's a Hall of Fame quarterback. I mean, will he go on the first ballot? Probably not, but I think the second and third ballot he should get in. I mean, he's had some monsters that he had to go up against for years. I mean, he beat
always
him,
the Patriots.
You know,
always the Patriots.
He had to go up with the Broncos were good. You know, everybody in his division was good at one point. You know, they went, you know, the Raiders were good. I mean, he fought through a lot. He'd win some games on some Monday nights that they had no chance, and just because he played and wouldn't give up. I mean, he, like Pat said, he had some different receivers. He's been through at least two good running backs, you know, and so – I think because of his numbers, I know, you know, I'm a playoff and postseason guy myself, but I think at the end of the day, you can't deny Phillip Rivers what he's done. And I didn't know that stat, but that's incredible.
That's incredible. I didn't know it either until I looked.
Start every game since 2006?
Yep, since 2006.
That's pretty good. I applaud Phillip Rivers. Yeah, I think he'll be a Hall of Famer when it's all said and done.
And another quarterback from that class who's, you know, his time is starting to wind down. He was just benched recently, Eli Manning. It's also the same type of debate with Eli. The thing with Eli, he's won two Super Bowls, and he won the one big one. Each one was against New England, which is huge because they're obviously so great. But he also knocked them off for that year where they were undefeated. That's a huge upset there. What's your thoughts on Eli? I think he goes in because – you have to count what he did in the playoffs, two Super Bowls and one against that, you know, New England team, which was just iconic. that has to count for something. So if it were me, I would probably put in both Rivers and Eli, but I think he's going in Eli. What are your thoughts on Eli?
Yeah, I think Eli's definitely in. And I'm not just saying that because that's my homeboy from New Orleans, but, you know, hey, like you said, man, he got two Super Bowls, probably be the best team to not win a Super Bowl in New England Patriots when they were 17-0, you know, going to the Super Bowl. They had everybody. And Eli miraculously put it off. And not only one time, but he beat the Patriots twice.
Yep.
So, and if you look at his numbers, man, he's another guy who plays every game, haven't missed a game in a long time. Just a longevity, just his productiveness throughout the years, playing in another tough division. Absolutely, he's in. I don't know if he's the first ballot, but he will eventually get in. And, you know, the Manning name holds some weight around the NFL. I think that has a little bit to do with it also.
Yeah, I agree. Like I said, I think he'll have the same type of fate as Phillip Rivers. Will it be first ballot? Probably not. Some people need to give a little bit of thought to it, but I think those two Super Bowls and the Manning name will carry a lot of weight to get him into the Hall of Fame. But I mean, you got to look at it. He did force a trade when he was drafted, and he pulled it off. He wasn't, you know, a disappointment. I mean, he held it down in the New York market and played when, you know, the odds were stacked against him. So I definitely think he gets in, but just not a first ballot.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. This week's game, you want to give any type of prediction? I know it's probably going to be another rough Sunday for the Dolphins. What do you think this week against the Chargers?
I think Albert Wilson comes back, adds a little fire. We at home. I think we cover the spread. What's the spread?
16.5. It's 16.5.
15?
16.5.
Oh, they definitely cover the spread.
Yeah. So I think we still get closer. I think we show more signs of life than we did last week.
Yeah, they've gotten closer in recent weeks. I think the issue this week they're going to face is the Chargers have a pass rush, a very good pass rush, with Ingram and Bosa and those guys. And Miami's offensive line, obviously, it is what it is. And Jesse Davis, I think he's going to play, but he might not be 100%. They lost their starting right guard this week for the entire season. So they're going to be down some offensive line, but they just claimed a guy today. They signed an offensive tackle yesterday. I don't know how they're going to block the Chargers. So if this game did get out of hand, that would probably be why. But yeah, they've gotten closer each week. It was 59-10, 43-zip, 31-6. I mean, it's not good.
Bringing it down.
Exactly. It's been getting closer. And they show a lot of fight. I'll say that for this team. It's a young team with a lot of guys people really haven't heard of. They show fight every week. They're getting, you know, they're out there trying. I will give them that. One of these weeks, I think they actually will win. I think maybe it's against Pittsburgh
or Washington.
What week
will that be?
Come on, Redskins. Come on, Redskins. Week six.
It'll probably be Redskins or Jets because the Jets are miserable too.
Week six.
Yeah. Week six against the Redskins. You got week eight against Pittsburgh and Mason Rudolph. Week nine against the Jets.
But that's in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's in Pittsburgh on a Monday night too. And Miami never does good in prime time in recent years. So, but those would be the teams just because their quarterback play really.
Can you imagine going into that Monday night game with no win teams playing each other?
It might happen. It could happen.
It's going to be real bad.
And then if Miami were to lose, you got Adam Gase and the Jets the next week coming to town. They might not have a win either. You're going to have Adam Gase with 0 wins, maybe Miami with 0 wins, and it's like, I don't know. It's like,
I don't think the NFL will let they'll probably flex that game. They'll have to flex. I don't know if it's too early in the season to do it, but.
Well, you can't flex on Monday.
They can't flex on Monday. They can flex on Sunday.
Sunday night you can flex, not Monday.
Yeah,
they can't do that one. I know, exactly. Damn. And
I think the opposite, though. I think more people will tune in to see who actually win the first game.
True. And this Monday night, you have Cincinnati versus Pittsburgh. Again, two teams with no wins. Pittsburgh's going to be on prime time here a few times where they can't get out of it. because it's Pittsburgh and they're always out in prime time. So without Roethlisberger, the NFL is probably like, oh, damn. We got Pittsburgh on Monday night a few times. We can't get out of it. So, yeah, I mean, could Miami go 0-16? It's possible. I think they'll find a way to win one. I still think they'll get the top pick of the draft. And I still think
we've already been 1-15. It's okay.
Exactly. And if they're picking number one, I don't care what anybody says, because I know there's been some articles. They might not take the quarterback from Alabama, Tua. They're taking the quarterback from Alabama, Tua. I think that will happen.
I'm not going with it.
Yeah, well, we'll see. although 2 weeks ago, I did get the chance to see in person Trevor Lawrence and Clemson. Clemson, you know, they play a weak schedule this year because the ACC's down. Trevor Lawrence is as good as advertised. Seeing him in person is like, whoa. He made one or two throws that were not great, but overall, that kid's the real deal too. It's like, I mean, it's just impressive.
We won't be able to rebuild for 2 years.
No, that's the problem. That's the problem. That's the problem. But you know, you see the kid from Alabama each week, and I think it's with him and Lawrence, it's 1 and 1A. I think they're so close, and they're both great. Pat, you know about the kid from Alabama probably a lot more than me. I mean, they're both great, and it's just if Miami were able to land him, I think that would be a blessing and hopefully the start of a turnaround here.
And like I say, even though they may be able to land a quarterback, they're going to need guys to protect
him. Oh, yeah.
So, like I said, this team is more than just one player away. They're about 10 players away. So
that's where the $140 million comes in.
Exactly. And maybe they should get 10 good players, give them medium salaries, and go from there. Don't sign that top-tier free agent. Get a bunch of good players.
Yeah, and that might be the plan, actually, because they need so much in so many different areas that you can't do it just with the draft. You can't do it just with free agency. But they need some veteran guys on this team because you just can't keep rolling out kids and hoping for the best because that just takes so long. Let's get to our top five list. We've done the past few times some ones that are fun. Let's do a football one again. Top five quarterbacks of all time. Who wants to go first?
Oh, give me a little
second. Just right off the cuff, too.
I'll go first if you want.
You go first.
Okay. Here's my list. And I'm not going back to, like, Otto Graham and stuff because the league has changed so much. I'm keeping this somewhat current. Number five, I got Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning, to me, regular season-wise, is the best quarterback of all time, regular season-wise. And, you know, if you want to put him higher in this list, nobody can argue that. I just think the guys I have ahead of him are really, really good. Number four, I went with Marino. Obviously, to me, he's number one diehard fan of the Dolphins. But, you know, he didn't win the Super Bowl, and I think everyone else on this list has that. So it's not a knock because it is a team sport, but it is something that you do have to take into account. Number three, John Elway. John Elway, he made plays with his legs, made plays with his arms. Went to 6 Super Bowls, won 2. Elway, one of the all-time greats. Number two, I have Joe Montana. Joe Montana in a big game, won a lot of games. And, you know, yes, San Francisco put a great team around him, but Joe Montana always came up big in the big spot. And number one, even though I hate the Patriots, you got to put Tom Brady. What he's done, and again, what he's done, because I think we spoke about this a few weeks back, he hasn't had – you know, outside of like Randy Moss or so for like a year or two, he hasn't had superstars around him on that offense. And the guy just keeps winning year after year. And he's now 42 years old and he's still winning, playing at a high level. So Brady 1, Montana 2, Elway 3, Marino 4, Peyton 5. To me, it's those five. And Arande, why don't you go?
All right, let's get number one out of the way. I'm not going backwards this time.
Okay.
Just go Tom at one. I mean, that's we don't even need to say nothing else about TB12, right? He won, right? I put Joe because he's 4-0 in the Super Bowl at 2. I got Peyton Manning at 3. Just because the way he orchestrates the offense and throws the ball around. Now it's gonna get kind of dicey. I'll go. Tough for me to put Elway at 4. Elway and Troy, they fighting that out at 4. But I'm gonna go with Troy. I'm gonna go with Troy Aikman at 4. And number five, Brett and Dan, they fighting it out. But as a pure passer, I don't think there's been a better pure passer than Dan Marino. So I'm gonna go with Dan Marino. That's my top five: Tom, Joe, Peyton, Troy, and Dan.
Yeah. All right,
man.
That's a tough list, huh?
That's a tough list, but of course, y'all give y'all a little list, and I always come through with the goodies, like always. All right.
Okay. All right.
So y'all, this is my list, right?
Yeah, it's your list.
Yeah, your list.
My list.
Your list.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna go six. I'm gonna put Dan at six.
Okay. All right.
My boy, probably not a better pure thrower of football in the game. I'm putting Dan at six. All right? My number five is Patrick Mahomes. I don't give a shit if he only played 2 years. He is the real deal. And when it's all said and done, he will be up there with the greats. I'm going Patrick Mahomes. This is my list.
That's right. All
right? Number three. Number four. I'm going with my homeboy. I actually beat him in high school. I was a better quarterback in high school. I'll tell y'all that story another time. I'm going with my boy, Peyton Manning. Like you said, man, the greatest regular season quarterback of all time. We played him twice in the division. He was unbelievable, man. He's smart to the game. Didn't have the strongest arm, but he knew where the ball was going before the play started, man. Unbelievable quarterback. First ballot Hall of Famer in my four-rated quarterback. My number three, and probably will move up as the years go on, double discount, double-check Aaron Rodgers. I mean, probably he's no doubt about it.
That's what I'm talking about, but these lists, man.
The most talented quarterback of all time, no doubt about it. He has the highest quarterback rating in NFL history. A down year for Aaron Rodgers is 30 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. That's a down year for him. That just tells you about his greatness. Aaron Rodgers, number three. Number two, I'm going with Joe. All of 6'1", 175, 180 pounds. Just a magnificent quarterback, man. Big game quarterback. When the game was on the line, there's probably nobody you want better than Joe. 4-0 in the Super Bowls, had the greatest receiver of all time. Kind of revolutionized the game with the West Coast system, man. Him and Bill Walsh. Joe Montana, number two. And as much as I don't want to admit, I came around the last couple of years, it's Tom Brady, man. He's probably the greatest football player to ever play. Tom Brady, man, what more can you say about him? Guy has been to 9 Super Bowls, has won 6 Super Bowls, probably the greatest accomplishment in football history. The longevity he has, the way he's keep recreating his body, is destroying. Seemed like the guy could play 4 or 5 years, man. The way his team is going now, seemed like he's going to play in 10 Super Bowls this year and probably win 7. So there's no debate, man. Tom Brady is the greatest quarterback of all time. But that's my top 6.
Yeah.
Listen, man, you left out your other homeboy. Well, he's not your homeboy.
Drew?
Yeah.
Drew, I mentioned that, man. He's hurt, though, right now. Just like KD can't be on the list in basketball, Drew can't be on it right now.
So your Southern Miss alumnus, he's 7.
Yeah, I'm saying, there's some great quarterbacks, man, but I can't. Hey, man, I'm telling you, man, this Patrick Mahomes kid.
That's what I'm saying. You got two dudes that's currently
saying first name. He's better than a lot of dudes who I named on that list. Just time will tell. Just look
Patrick
at
Mahomes.
His second year in the league, he had 50 touchdown passes. His first year starting. Unbelievable. He probably going to surpass that this year.
I think
right,
so.
Man.
Yeah, I will say this about Pat Mahomes. Everyone talks about Marino's year in 84, his second year in the league, where he just shattered every record. And it was like the most impressive year for any quarterback ever, just because how the rules were, and it was a time in the game where it was like run the ball, play defense. With Pat Mahomes, what he's doing now, sort of reminiscent of what Dan did back in 1984, in that he's putting up numbers that just dwarf a lot of other guys in the league right now. So, I mean, I don't know if I have top five right now, but I think when it's all said and done, I think you're right. He's going to be up in the conversation because his numbers are just going to overwhelm so many other people. Breeze,
he's on pace for 6,000 yards this year. That's
I know. It really is.
Tough.
And I think they're the one team in the AFC that can beat the Patriots. Because you look at the AFC, I mean, there's not much going on right now in the AFC. You got Pittsburgh's obviously down this year. The Ravens look okay. You got the Chiefs. I mean, I don't know where you're going to get a team to sort of challenge the Patriots. If the Chiefs get
Jalen Ramsey, it's going to be tough.
They're doing this without Tyreek Hill.
Yeah. Correct. He's out for a couple more weeks. So they're the one team I think that can give the Patriots a run in the AFC. Because if not, I think the Patriots are going to walk back to the Super Bowl. And once they're there, you know, it's a 50-50 shot. They're going to win it again. So, 70-30. Yeah, probably a 70-30 with the Patriots. Yeah, but the top five list, yeah, I think guys like Favre, Breeze, just on the cusp of that list. Some other names we didn't mention were Steve Young, but he's not top five level to me. Warren Moon was, you know, very good thrower, but not top five. Probably might be top 10, though, but he's almost a little bit underrated.
You know what? Every time we have these lists, and, you know, whoever gives them, and it's hard for me to understand why Terry Bradshaw is not on anybody's list.
I know. He won 4 Super Bowls, part of 4, you know, great teams.
He's 4-0 in the Super Bowl, and he had Stallworth and
But you're looking at teams. That's a team accomplishment in the Super Bowl. We're looking at pure quarterbacking. The Steelers had like 20 Hall of Famers on that team, man.
And they're almost all on defense.
Yeah, but he still had to run it. He threw it. He got them boys the ball, man.
He had like 200 yards passing.
Sort of like the Bob Greasy thing. Bob Greasy's a great quarterback, but there are games where he threw the ball 8 times. Well, if you really asked him to throw the ball 8 times, you only got to be good about 5 of them, you know?
Yeah, I got it. I mean, you know, listen, Troy only had about 5 300-yard passing games. They won.
Yeah. And that's a tough list.
But that's a part of quarterbacking, though, or running your team, though. Like, Aaron Rodgers, man, come on. Aaron Rodgers played in one Super Bowl, Aaron Rodgers.
Chuck Noll, Belichick, that's coaching legends, man, coaching.
Okay. Yeah. And I will say this about –
we need to do top five coaches then.
We can do that next week. We can do that next week if you want.
There's a direct correlation on Tom Brady, Bill Belichick.
Absolutely. Absolutely there is. Cause I think
Bill Walsh, Joe Montana, it's the same thing.
You put Peyton Manning on the Patriots, and Peyton Manning's got just as many rings. Peyton Manning.
I don't know about that.
Come on, man.
I don't know about that.
Peyton Manning would have just as many rings, and Peyton.
I don't know.
The reason he's now, not.
I don't think Peyton Manning could adapt to as many offensive coordinators and changes as Tom. Tom adapted everybody. They go and come a lot. O'Brien, what's the dude that went to Notre Dame? The first Charlie Weiss. Peyton wanted Tom. What's Tom's name?
He wanted that Tom. Ted Marchibroda.
Tom. I forgot Tom's name. The dude was the same dude in the Colts. Who left and came back. Yeah, he wanted that.
The head coach at the Houston Texans.
No.
It was O'Brien.
It was Bill O'Brien. Yeah, O'Brien. That's what I'm saying. All them people with the offensive coordinator, they won with them. Tom don't care. I'm talking about
what's the one key ingredient that you it's Belichick, man.
All right.
They're the coordinators.
Yeah.
They beat the Rams 13-3 because of Belichick.
Alright, I got you, man. I'm saying Same thing, man. Bill Walsh won. He was the offensive coordinator, the coach, the same thing. I don't know. Got to have a good coach then.
All right, guys. This is always a fun conversation. I love the top five list. It's the best part of the show. It really is. Thanks for coming on this week. We'll talk to you again next week. Hopefully, Miami keeps it close. Maybe squeaks out a win. We'll see what goes on. But if not, we'll find various other topics to talk about. And maybe we'll do the top five list on the top five head coaches next week.
All right, man. Thanks for having me.
All right.
Man,
have a good week, guys.
All right.
Yep.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Tailgate Talk with Pat and Aronde exclusively at DolphinsTalk.com. For all the latest Miami Dolphins news and information, be sure to check out DolphinsTalk.com and follow us on Twitter @DolphinsTalk.